today on the family, and I want to encourage you a couple of things. We're going to talk about a lot of different areas when it is concerning the family. We're going to talk about today finding the love of your life. Next week, we're going to be looking at when you've married the wrong person. That we'll put those in quotes. That's a little misnomer there, okay? Then we're going to talk about how we can pull together when we're pulled apart. So many things that try to destroy the family today. Then we're going to talk about fanning the flame of romance. Guys, you don't want to miss that one, I promise you. Then we're going to look at an aspect of marriage that none of us like to talk about. But it's an absolute reality, and that is when a marriage ends and the issues that come with that. Then we're going to talk about how to stay in love from the honeymoon to the tomb. Then we're going to do a little interactive thing called He Said, She Said. And then we're going to talk about why family is so important because He first loved us. And then we're going to talk about love for a lifetime, breaking free. And then on Mother's Day, we're going to look at a thing called a better way of loving. And we're going to lay out the whole design that God has for us as husbands and wives and moms and dads. And then on the last one, because this is going to create a lot of discussion, this series is how to resolve conflict. Save that one for last. That might should go first, huh? That's the first two words that every man needs to know. Yes, dear. How many of you remember song writer and singer Gloria Estevan? I'm aging myself here today. Okay. She used to sing a song that said, "We seal our fate by the choices that we make." Now, I believe that all truth is God's truth. And Gloria Estevan, I believe, spoke some truth there. Your decision will determine your destiny. Your decision about knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior will determine where you will spend eternity. And your decision about knowing all that God has for you and whether you want to be a part of the church and a part of all that God is doing will determine how your life is lived and how you find fruitfulness and fulfillment in your life. But the second most important decision in your life will be whether you choose to marry or not, or if you choose to marry, who you're going to marry. Now, let me give you some evidence for that. There's evidence for many poor decisions that's all around us in our world today. We have broken hearts, broken homes, broken lives. One out of every 2.5 marriages end in divorce. The divorce rate has risen 240% since the 1940s. And the problem is that no one is teaching us, except Warren Community Church that I know of, is teaching us how we are to choose a mate. Many of us end up in marriages for the wrong reasons. But I want you to know today that if you'll stick with us through these next 10 or so weeks, I'm going to lay out for you the biblical principles upon which you are to determine how you should find God's best for your life. Now, if you're not married here today, you say, "Well, I picked the wrong day to come to church. This is not about me." No, this will help you determine about how to make a good decision. In fact, the sermon could be subtitled, "How to Find God's Will." Because finding God's will in where we want to go with our lives, where we want to go to school, where we want to, what job we want, all those things are based on these same type of principles that we'll be talking about. So if you're married, it may help you understand the root of some of the conflicts that you have in your marriage. If you're divorced, it may help you understand a little bit better some of the things that went wrong and what happened and what needs to be done. If you're a single adult who's here today and you've chosen to remain single, You still need to be a mature believer, able to give wise counsel to others and make good decisions yourself. If you're a parent or a grandparent that's here today, you need to take some serious notes. Buy the tape. Save it for those teenagers that are coming up that are your grandchildren that you love more than life itself. The truth is, I believe that God wants us to build our lives on great principles. You know, some people see the Bible as a restrictive rule book. Well, there are some thou shalts and thou shalt nots in there. There's no doubt about that. And I think God makes it pretty clear. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. But the Bible is not just a book of rules. There are rules in there, absolutely. Some thou shalt and thou shalt not. But the Bible, let me tell you what the Bible is. It is the very Word of God, inerrant, infallible, verbally inspired, and plenarily inspired. And it will guide you in every aspect of your life. And it is a book full of principles and guidelines that if you will follow, your life will be blessed. In the final analysis, it's going to be your decision who you choose. But God will guide you and He will lead you. He will direct you. He will give you guidelines and principles. But in that final analysis, ultimately, it's your choice. So you need to know how to make good choices. God wants to build our lives on great principles, not just petty rules. Now, let's talk about how does God guide us? Well, first of all, God guides us through the Bible. Absolutely. Notice what Psalm 119 says from the Living Bible. Paraphrase. It says, God's word is a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and to keep me from stumbling. Notice what I put in there, a quote by Dr. James B. Crichton, who is was the president of the school where Jan and I went. And let me correct a mistake I made here. You need to... This one is right. We did get it corrected, didn't we? The will of God inside the Bible will never contradict the will of God outside the Bible. Flip inside and outside there. The will of God outside the Bible, in other words, what you want to do as far as marriage, what you want to do as far as school, what you want to do as far as work, the will of God for you, that will never contradict the will of God that's in the Bible. And you'll see that more clearly as we go. Number two, God speaks to us through impressions. Notice in Psalm 32, I will instruct you and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I advise you and watch your progress. And that's from the Living Bible paraphrase. God will speak to us through impressions. What impressions? Well, you know, we may be considering something, and we just really feel impressed about this is the direction God wants us to go. But don't just use impression, because you can get bad impressions as well. You have to be careful, because not every impression is from God, and you could get bad impression. You could get a bad impression from a movie that you watched, or from an emotional environment that you're living in. Your hormones could be out of whack, and you could get a bad impression. Amen? Or you could have just had a bad piece of pizza that gave you a bad impression. So impressions are not alone. These principles I'm giving you all must line up. You should always check out an impression in light of the other channels that we're talking about. Number three, God speaks to us through circumstances. Notice what Romans 8 and verse 28 says from the New Living Translation. It says, God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. Now, I'm glad that God did not say in this passage that everything is good, because it's not. But what He says is God works everything for our good. In other words, God can even take the bad decisions that we make, and He can work those for our good. But we have to trust Him. God speaks through circumstances. Have you ever been in life where, you know, something happens and you say, wow, that had to be God. That's a God thing that just took place there. Or somebody would say, you know, only God could put something like that together. All of us have those circumstances in our lives as believers as we walk with the Lord. We've seen those situations where all of a sudden it just seems like there was, God was in this. It's no doubt. Now, let me warn you again here, the same about impressions. Not every circumstance is from God. You always use circumstance to confirm what God has said to you in light of these other channels. You don't use it as the sole basis for a decision. You see, the enemy will use circumstance too to get you to make a bad decision. You see, the Bible tells us that when temptation comes, temptation is not from God. God does bring trials and tests into our lives. But the difference between temptation and trials and tests, when a temptation comes, that's from the enemy to do what? To drag you down. But when a trial or a test comes, that is to help you build your spiritual muscles so that God will guide you through those trials and tests. They're there to encourage you. They are there to challenge you. They are there to see that your faith is made stronger. God loves to stretch us. We don't like to be stretched because getting stretched hurts. And there are many times in our lives as believers where things happen to us and we have to determine, is this a temptation or is this a time of trial or a time of testing? And if it's for our good, I'll promise you it's for a time of testing and trial where God is going to show us and he's going to show up and he's going to show out in our lives. But number four, God speaks to us through research or reason. I love Proverbs 18:13 in the Living Bible. It says it like this. It is stupid to decide before knowing the facts. Would somebody tell the newscasters that today? Amen. Now, we don't want to get off there too far. But it is stupid. I love that. I love the way the Living Bible paraphrase says things. It just says it in a common language. It is stupid. Now, I know that some of you parents are teaching your children, don't use the word stupid. That's not a nice word. But when God says it, I mean, what else can we say? It is stupid to decide before knowing the facts. And here's an example. If a train is coming toward you, and you're on the tracks, you don't say, well, I'm just going to pray about getting off these tracks. No. Through research and reason. Warnings. Let me give you some warnings about this. Not only about impressions, not only about circumstances, but there's a warning here. Don't get into a business that you haven't checked out. You need to know who you're going in business with. You need to know the history of that business. If it's a new adventure, a new something that's coming up, you need to be sure that you have done your research and you have sat down and looked at it and to make sure that this business is something that will glorify God if you're a believer. And don't get into a marriage that you haven't checked out. You need to know about that person before you marry them. You need to know about their family. You need to know their educational background. You need to know their idea of what they mean by about child rearing. You need to understand how they resolve conflict. You need to get to know each other and understand a person before you even consider marrying. And let me tell you, just stop right here. I'm going to mention it later as we go through some other stuff. Well, let me say to you today with all of the heart I know how to say, it is never, ever, I believe, God's will, according to the Word of God, it is never God's will for a believer to marry an unbeliever. Now, that happens a lot. It happens a lot. But what did we say Romans 8 told us? That God works all things together for our good. He can take a bad decision that we make. And yes, he can still make it good if we will trust him and serve him through it. But I want to tell you, one of the truths of Scripture is it tells us that what kind of a relationship does a believer and an unbeliever have? You've got two different. You see, the Bible says that there are two fathers. There's our heavenly Father, and then there's as Jesus said to the Pharisees, your father, the devil. So if you as a believer have the Heavenly Father as your father, and you marry an unbeliever, guess who your father-in-law is? But the fifth thing, God speaks to us through advice from mature Christians. Notice what Proverbs 11 says. The wisdom of the righteous can save you. Now here's that word again. The Bible says it's stupid to go get advice from people who don't know God. Wisdom comes from righteousness. The Bible says that the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God, the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you want wisdom, you need wisdom in your life, seek godly people. Because they will give you information and they will give you counsel based on the righteous teachings of the Word of God. But I'm afraid that today most people get their advice from Hollywood. That's why our marriages and our families are in such disaster. That's why we see all the issues that we see today. They're in such disaster. But God speaks to us through advice from mature believers and mature Christians. Anytime you make a major decision, it should be based on cumulative evidence of God's guidance. All five of these things need to line up, particularly what does God say about it? What does God's word say about who I should marry and so on? It's what I call, the Bible calls the law of unity. You need to have unity in all of these. It would be like this. If I were to take five of these chairs right here and line them all up in a straight line, just like this. But I'm coming from over here, and I'm walking. Y'all got those five chairs in your mind in a straight line there? Let's play a little pretend here this morning. As I'm standing here, I'm seeing five individual chairs, right? But the closer I get to it, I'm still seeing five individual chairs. I get a little bit closer, two of them go together. I get a little bit closer, three of them go together. I get right in line with all five principles and all five chairs, and they're all lined up together. That's when you know you can make a good decision. When you've got all five of these principles that are lined up together, and the Word of God is very clear and shows us what our decision should be. This law says when God speaks, He never contradicts Himself. God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14. Because if you're confused about a decision, you need to back up and start over. Because God is not the author of confusion. He will make your paths straight. And if you're trying to make a decision and you're confused, you can know one thing. God has not spoken clearly enough yet. Now, I'm going to give you some specific guidance on finding the right mate. There are two non-negotiables and one recommendation. If you want God's best for your life, number one, you must have spiritual compatibility. We talked about that a little bit earlier. But God is absolutely clear about this. You must be on the same wavelength spiritually in order to have oneness in Christ. Notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says from the New English Bible. It says, do not unite yourself with an unbeliever. They are not fit mates for you. Notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15, the same passage, the next verse. Can a believer share life with an unbeliever? Let me read that to you from the New King James Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what argument has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. I don't know how clear that could be. God says there that it's like darkness and light trying to come together. Now you say, well, I wish I'd have known that, you know, many years ago. But again, let's fall back to what God says in Romans 8. He can work all things for our good. But if you as a believer here today, you're seeking, maybe as a single person here today, you're seeking God's will about marriage and family and things that are in the future. If you don't base your marriage on the truths of God's word, you will end up making not only a bad decision, but a decision that will bring nothing but heartache and sorrow to you. Spiritual compatibility. If you have your life committed to Christ, and Jesus Christ is really number one in your life, and you want to live for His plan, and that He put you here on earth for, you are not free to choose an unbeliever as your mate. The Word of God tells us, what relationship do we have with them? We have two different worldviews. We have two different ideas of God. Let me ask you something. It's like this. Miss Liz, would you come up here and assist me, please? Right here. Let me ask you something. Which is the easier thing to do? For me to pull her up here or for her to pull me down here? No, please don't pull me down. Which is easier? For her to pull me down. That's exactly right. Thank you, Miss Liz. Didn't she do a good job? And young people, listen to me. Adults, everybody, but young people particularly. Bad company, the scripture says in Proverbs, corrupts good morals. It is easier for you to be pulled down into bad company and into bad decisions instead of you pulling them up out of that. Only God can pull them up out of it. Only the Holy Spirit of God, through the power of conviction of their sin, can bring them up out of there. But I want to tell you this, I've seen many, many young people and many families and many lives and many marriages that they would, a lady would marry an unbelieving husband, and that unbelieving husband would pull her down into the mire and midst of sin. And this, I've seen it over and over and over and over again. It happens continually. So, understand this. Don't think. I was talking with a young person several months ago, a young lady, and she was talking about this young fellow that she was, you know, a little infatuated with. She said love, but I knew she meant infatuation. That was supposed to have been a little humor there. But very little, undoubtedly. She said, I think I love this guy. And I said, okay, well, tell me about him. And she was telling me. I said, well, you've said a lot of things about him. You said he's a good athlete. Now, that's good. I said, you said he's a good leader. A lot of people respect him. You said, hey, oh boy, he is cute. Said he dresses well. He's got a nice car. I said, you gave me about seven or eight things, but you haven't told me if he loves Jesus yet. She said, well, I don't. I said, do you know whether he loves Jesus or not? I'm not sure. I said, well, honey, you need to back up. Because that's the first thing you need to find out. If you are a believer, the first thing you ought to know about anyone, because if you don't, they will pull you down. And you shouldn't even consider serious. You know what I call that? See, this is what she said to me. Oh, I'll get him to come to church and get him to trust Jesus, you know, after we start going together. You know what I call that? Missionary dating. No, honey, don't do that. If he won't come to church before you start dating, if he doesn't love Jesus before you start dating, you need to stay away, and maybe you need to pray for him And if you're, you know, seeking and trying to find God's direction, it may be, but it will be after he trusts Jesus and makes him Lord of his life, not before. So make sure you have spiritual compatibility. Here's some statistics from the Marriage and Divorce magazine. 1 out of every 2.5 marriages end in divorce. But when, now listen to this, and we hear these lies that are talked about in the church a lot of times. I want you to know that this should, and the this magazine here is not a Christian magazine. But this is what it said. But when a couple actively attends church together, commits their lives to Christ, and they pray and read the Bible together, the divorce rates drops to 1 out of every 1,105. That's the difference that Jesus makes in a relationship. So be sure that you're spiritually compatible. Number two, if you want God's best for your life, you must have a life purpose compatibility. What is your whole life? What are you wanting to do? Amos 3:3 says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? If the guy you're dating or the guy you're going to marry, if he's pulling in one direction and you're pulling in the other, do you think y'all are going to be able to walk together? No, you'll be walking away from each other. Notice what Ephesians 2 says. God has made us who we are in Christ Jesus. God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. We need to have life purpose compatibility. If you're going to consider marrying someone or even consider dating someone, you should have some type of compatibility with your life purpose. What is it that you want God to do with your life? And what have you surrendered to? Been many a person that has, God has been leading them to the mission field or leading them into ministry, and because they marry someone or get into a relationship with someone that has not that in their mindset, they walk away and they never follow through. Here's some truths. If you are not ready to get married until first you have clarified and identified your life purpose, and the tragedy is that most people never discover what that life purpose is. And I've given you two little boxes here. Your life purpose and your future mate's life purpose. Now, we made them different because they are different. But those circles should be able to connect. In other words, your life purpose and your future mate's life purpose should have some connecting values there. There are going to be some differences, but they should overlap. It shouldn't be like trying to put a square in a triangle. In Colossians chapter 7, it says, one of the advantages of staying single is you can have undistracted service. And if the person that you are considering dating or considering marrying or even going into business with, this principle applies to that as well. If you have a life purpose in life and your business partner does not, and it has nothing to do with God, let me tell you something. Stay out of that business because you're headed for trouble. They should be able to overlap. It would be best to remain single to fulfill your life purpose if the person you're considering life purpose does not in any way overlap with yours. Number three, if you want God's best for your life, it helps to have personal compatibility. Now, there's no verse in the Bible that that says you have to marry someone who is just like you or has more in common than you have. The smoother sailing that you want in your marriage, the more in common that you have, you'll have a more smooth marriage. But the more you have not in common, the more the rough seas will be and the strife and the chaos. Here's some factors to consider when you're looking at either a mate or looking at someone to date or looking at someone to go into business with, whatever it may be. What's the background of this person's family? You need to talk about that. What's the educational level? What's the common intelligence level, verbal skills? How do they communicate? What's the expected roles? What are the expectations in this marriage going to be? You need to sit down, and if it's a marriage situation, you need to sit down with each other and say, what is it that you're expecting out of this marriage? What are your expectations? Because many times we come into marriage, you know what? We have unrealistic expectations. We think that our mate's going to fulfill every need that we have. Well, let me tell you something today. There's only one person that can fulfill every need that you have, and his name's Jesus. We sang a song about him. If you're expecting your mate to meet every emotional need, every physical need, every spiritual need, then you're in for disappointment. It's impossible. But you need to understand, what are the expected roles? What do you think? You come from a fellow that was an only child, that he was mama's boy, and there's nothing wrong being mama's boy. I'm a mama's boy too. But he was a mama's boy. Mama cooked for him. Mama washed all of his clothes. Mama cleaned up his room. And at age 27, he moved out. A little humor there. That didn't go over well either. But he always brought mama the clothes back, you know. Even though he moved out, he brought them back for mama to clean. Mama always cooked. Mama's cooking's better than anybody else's cooking. Mama always did it like this. Let me tell you, sweetheart, if you marry somebody like that, that's a bad decision. Because when you marry, you know what? You cut those apron strings loose from mama. And guys, the number one woman in your life is not your mama. It is your wife. Now, mamas are great. We love our mamas. And they have a special place in our hearts. And always will. But when you choose to marry someone, don't expect her to be your mama. She is not. She is your wife. And there's a big difference. How do you resolve conflict? You need to know about that. You know, if you've got the strong, silent type that all he does when there's a conflict, walks out the door and, you know, goes fishing or goes hunting, leaves you standing there like this, you're going to live a frustrated life. And you're going to think, I married the wrong person. Learn how to resolve conflict. Level of ambition. What's your ambition? Child-rearing views. Involvement with in-laws. Believe me, when you marry somebody, you marry their family too. Somebody says that in-laws visiting is kind of like fish. After about 3 days, they start stinking, you know. Now, I know all of you guys have got great in-laws out there. I know that, and that doesn't apply here. I just wanted you to have that so you could talk to somebody else out there about it. Desire for verbal intimacy. The way to handling anger. Hobby and leisure activities. Sharing time to energy level. Sexual drive and sexual interest. All those are significant. Tell you, as a pastor, I've discovered the absolute best marriages and absolute worst marriages are those where the people are the most different. Different, you know, opposites attract, right? But opposites also attack. You've got to make those adjustments. Now, there are two errors that people fall into when it comes to marriage. The Hollywood era, all I need is a quiver in my liver as a justification to get married. I'm sexually attracted to you. Or I fall head over heels in infatuation. Or I think you're the most delicious babe I've ever seen. That's not good enough reason to get married. You hear this, well, we just fell in love. Now, I understand that. I fell in love with my wife, too. But we think, it's like this. We think that falling in love is like, we were just walking around minding our own business, and all of a sudden there was this gaping big hole that we just fell into and we couldn't help ourselves. And there's no ladder out of it. No, love is much, much more. Listen, love is not an emotion. It is a commitment. Do you think Jesus, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Do you think that that felt good? Do you know what Jesus suffered for you? And he did it on your behalf, even when you didn't love him? And the Bible tells us as spouses and future spouses that we are have that, say, that same type of love, that unconditional love, that we make it a choice of our will to love, not just a ooey-gooey, quiver-in-my-liver feeling. Now, the feelings are great, but feelings come and feelings go. And they change with circumstance, but commitment to love someone in spite of their shortcomings is the way it should be. Now, if you want to get married, and if you want God's best in marriage partner, you need to do six things, and I gotta quit. I'm out of time. You need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Absolutely, that is foundational. If you don't have that foundation, you're building anything you do on a foundation of sand that will just wash away at the first storm. But if you build your foundation on Jesus Christ, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, as the old song says. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. So remember, get that foundation right. Number two, make a commitment to God's standard in a marriage partner. Don't get in a hurry. You should have a list of qualities that you're looking for, and you should not compromise. Isaiah 50 says, some of you want to light your own fires and make your own life. So go, walk, and trust in your own light to guide you, but this is what you will receive, a place of pain. If you choose to ignore God's principles for marriage and for family, and for business, and for decisions, then you are going to a place of pain. Discover and clarify your life purpose. Get involved in a church family or a Christian college where there will be a lot of other people who fit the parameters that God has laid out for you. And may I just throw in here one little other thing that is a pet peeve of mine? You will not find, if you're a Christian, you will not find a mate sitting at a bar drinking liquor somewhere. Stay away from those things and those temptations. Go slow. And above all things, get premarital counseling. Learn how to relate to each other. Learn about each other. All these things, how to find the love of your life. Follow God's principles for marriage and relationship. Follow God's principles in dating relationships. Follow God's principles in business relationships. Because if you'll get all five of those chairs lined up and all these principles lined up, I'll promise you that you're headed in the right direction and God will direct your path. He says this in his word, that if we will trust him, he will direct our paths. And so today I believe that with all my heart, but it begins with the foundational trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where it's got to begin. And so today, if you don't know Jesus, today's the day to give your heart and life to him and begin a journey by trusting him and letting him show you his will and his way for you and learning these principles and following them as he directs you. Let's pray. Lord,